meeting is now being recorded.
Thank you all for joining the Root Zone LGR study group call on 3rd of December 2018. We have Gaurav, Mirjana, Ajay, Dennis, Pitinan, and Sarmad on the call. Over to you, Dennis.
Thank you, Sarmad. And please, can I direct everybody's attention to the document? I'm going to share it. If you don't have the link, let me share it with you. You can also follow my screen. So that's okay. But if you want to participate by typing on the document directly, that's okay as well. All right, so last week we left at this this bullet. Russell calculation should be applied equally for validation and variant labels of GTLDs and CTLDs, and that's part of sub-bullet 2. That's what we said. So let's continue with the other bullets we make through our document. Again, this is a list of the items that we discussed early in our meetings as far as the scope. So now we are developing the recommendations, rationale, explanation, and how we come about with our recommendations. Okay. So the next bullet, it's based on the calculations of Root Zone LGR. The follow-up additional constraints can be different between GTLD and CCTLD as per the policies and processes for GTLDs and CCTLDs respectively. So this is a, looks like more of a statement and clarification, and we can certainly add that as a as a sub-bullet on number 2 as well when we discuss Root Zone LGR being the only source for validation. But of course, this is only the technical validation for DNS labels. Policy can put further constraints as to what makes a GTLD or country code TLD criteria. Any reactions? Okay, hearing none. I think that's where we just need to, we can add this. Again, this is more like a statement. We're saying nothing new here. It's been a long time that GTLDs and CTLDs, they set their own criteria as far as what makes those type of TLDs eligible for such groups. All right, let's continue. Next bullet, and I'm highlighting where we are reading. Root Zone LGR will be used for determining variant labels for reserve labels, which should also be incorporated in the list of reserve labels. So this is something that we discuss, obviously, and I think it's pretty straightforward. Those reserve labels for top-level domain names should be subject to Root Zone LGR processing as the same way that existing TLDs are being will be subject to Root Zone LGR processing in order to, one, validate they are valid DNS level per the Root Zone LGR, and also to calculate and determine the disposition of those variant labels, if any. Any comments in addition to that? Okay, so let me just elaborate on my comments, what you said. And this is something that also GPs may should have into account when they are processing their proposals or developing their proposals, as the same way we are recommending generation panels to make a pass of existing TLDs, they should do also this, do the same for reserve TLDs. Okay, so moving on. Just give me a second, looking at the chat room if there's any action. No, okay. So let's go back to the document and continue the reviewing of the items. So the next one is a big one. Let's read it. So in which part of current or future process should the root sommelier be used and how? So I think we throughout our conversation, we always assume that the root sommelier would be a sort of a prerequisite during the application process. And I think we talk about that applicants, right, TLD applicants should have a instance of the root sommelier available to them so that they can validate before they even go through the application process and pay the application fees and go through the whole entire process so that they know in advance whether the chances of succeeding the application process, right? Barring any contention sets and what have you, but at least they know that the label they are applying for is a valid DNSA label, and they would also know how many variants they have, if any, is calculated. So does anyone have a different view as to how the root sommelier process is? I think we agree this is, should be early in the process, right? I see Sarma raising a hand. Please, Sarma, go ahead.
Right. Thank you, Dennis. So I think the way this question, I was just looking at the two sub-bullets under GTLD. So I think the intention of this, and we may have already discussed it, is that it raises the question whether the root sommelier is only going to be used for variant calculation or whether it will also be used for validation of TLD in addition to variant calculation. Because I guess initially when this whole project started, it started with a focus on calculating variant TLDs. But now I think where we are, what root zone LGR, the way it's been designed, it is actually also in a way becoming sort of a prerequisite to validate the label itself in addition to calculating the variant TLDs. So I think we've actually been assuming that all along, but I guess this question is asking that, I guess, more explicitly. And maybe we've already talked about this earlier in the recommendations that we will use root zone LGR to validate a top level domain, and any label which is not validated cannot move forward, either it gets suspended or rejected, I guess, based on policy. But so this may actually be a repeat of that, but that was the intention of this question, at least a part of it. Thank you.
Thank you, Sarma. Thank you, Sarma. Yeah, so thank you for that. Based on that, I think this is an overarching question that encompasses the things that we have talked about, right? And, how to validate, where do we apply? I think this question really is a question about the use cases. I think you mentioned that one of the use cases is the validation of existing TLDs, reserve labels, also the as a potentially a prerequisite for TLD applications. So I think that's where we're going with this, and not only validation but also the identification or calculation of variants. Does anyone have another opinion, having supporting or maybe providing a different insight? And I'm taking notes, so forgive the silence for a minute. And see this action on the chat room. I'm supporting these statements. Plus one got up. Okay, thank you. Please excuse me for 1 minute. I need to step away just a second. Sorry about that. All right, I'm back. Okay, so, and let me just, for completeness, right? So in which part of the current or future process should the Russian LDR be used, and how we talk about, we broken down into ETLDs and CCTLDs, for the GTLDs, current ID and GTLDs, and binding calculations, how to address the binding TLD self-identified by the GTLD applicants. I think we asked the same question above. Yep, here. Do Russian LDR conversion override self-identified variants? Yep. So, and here we said, let's review the AGV and fast-track processes, and we need to investigate there, do some research, and then come back to the question. So I'll just make a note here that it's already addressed above. So maybe I'm just going to, maybe in order to not do it this twice, I will just strike through. All right. I see hands. AJ, go ahead.
Thank you, Dennis. And I actually had a crack. I could not hear some time in between. So maybe I'm repeating the question you already answered. However, my question is, in the previous call and in our notes, we discussed about that we must have the validated, we must validate our existing TLDs and CCTLDs. So, and we are not specifically mentioning there about the IDNs which are already existing. So, are we considering them as a part of GTLD or CCTLD, the IDNs, or we should mention that separately in the above statement? One, why I say this is because now we are saying that this root zone LGR is going to be only for variant calculations, not for validation. So do you find some contradiction between? That's all. Thank you.
Okay, AJ, a little bit choppy your questions, but let me restate it. Let's see if I got it right. So two questions. First one is the where do we apply the root zone LGR? And the second one is about whether we are streamlining the use case, the functions of the root zone LGR. So let me start with the latter. No, we're not saying that the root zone LGR is only for IDN variant calculation. It's for both, for validation and calculation of variance. So that has not changed. On the first one, the root zone LGR, what we said is that they have to be used for, they have to be applied for future TLD applications for sure. But also, we are making aware that generation panels should take into account existing TLDs when they are developing their LGR proposals, such that if they find that their current form of LGR proposal is making a TLD invalid, right, then they have to make a hard, they have to look very hard that case in a way that whether any variant rule scope on that they are deeming to be invalid or whatnot, it's really going to make that label, will tell the root zone LGR that they are proposing will make that label invalid. So it's just a way for them to be aware that maybe their draft proposal is too restrictive and maybe they ought to review it based on current delegation, but if they insist, they will have to press, they have to provide the corresponding evidence as to why they think a code point, a certain code point needs to be removed from the LGR, or you have to impose different restrictions as far as whole level evaluation rules or variant rules. I hope that answers your questions. If not, please let me know and we can take that in again.
Dennis, no, partially yes, and I just wanted a follow-up question. So the last point we were at it, in which part of current or future processes should our root zone LGR be used and how? And for GTLD, the first line is use of root zone LGR for current IDN GTLDs only for variant calculation, not for validation. So when I see that, then it might be a confusion that this is contradictory to the purpose of validation for the current future use of root zone LGR. So if we do not use the current IDNs for validation, and if it is invalidating something, then it will be contradicting here. That's my point, only from the language perspective. I know we are on the same page, but maybe language is confusing or we think it's fine.
AJ, thank you for the clarification. Let me react to this before giving the mic to Sarmat. So yeah, I remember. So just know that all these questions that we wrote about was many weeks ago, and now that we are developing our rationale, we're coming up with maybe deviating a little bit of our original thinking. So when we put here and see where you're coming from, we were talking about, yeah, let's use the rules on NGR for current. We're talking about existing IDNTLDs, and because they are existing, that means that they are most likely already delegated, and therefore there is no question whether they are valid or invalid, right? They're already delegated, so they ought to be grandfathered into the root zone. Now, there is no way that a root zone LGR, a proposal, will make a existing TLD invalid and therefore trigger a not removing that label from the root zone LGR. So that's not going to happen. So that's why we say, oh, maybe we only want to use the root zone LGR for variant calculation. But now we have developed our thinking and said, what maybe is useful for to run the existing TLDs through the roots on NGR is that the generation panels are aware that their choices are making a label invalid, and therefore maybe they ought to review such rules with a different lens. But it's up to them whether they decide to keep the proposal as they believe it should be and make a existing TLD invalid by the rules on NGR, and somebody, ICANN, I guess, will have to deal with that case, or the generation panel at that point will say, yeah, maybe we were too harsh or maybe too restrictive as far as XYZ rule, and yeah, we really don't want to do that anymore, so we'll remove it and, you know, revise the proposal. I think that's where we are now. Sarmat, I don't see your hand up, but do you still want to participate?
So you've generally covered what I wanted to say as well. So I guess just to reiterate, the first sentence is for current IDN GTLDs. So when we're talking about GTLDs which are already existing, we're not really doing validation anymore. But yes, we, as you said, we should ask GPs to review it, and maybe we'll have to grandfather it in rare cases where a GP still thinks that they don't want to update their proposal to incorporate the current GTLDs which are already delegated. But in any case, yes, so we've actually changed this position slightly, where we are saying that you know, the GPs really need to have a larger role here. Generally, I think if the TLD is delegated, it will probably continue to remain delegated either way, either through grandfathering or through support by an updated version of the Roots on LGR proposal by the GP. Thank you.
Thank you, Sarma.
That's okay. Let's move further. That's fine. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm just making a note here.
While you are making a note, I just want to reiterate again that the position which we took last time, that the GPs should own a little bit more larger role and responsibility to validate the existing TLDs, especially this case will fall very important. And I do not want to see that GPs take the root of this clause where they say that our root zone LGR cannot be used for validation and find this contradictory. I don't know how to cover that, but I know we are on the same page, but maybe I just want to plug that hole
if we all find it there. That's all. Thank you.
So are you suggesting that these recommendations, we can make it clear that these recommendations should be maybe incorporated into the LGR procedure if it's not already there, that GPs need to be cognizant of existing TLDs and the LGR proposal should be also taking that fact into account? I mean, that's one option.
Yes. Actually, it is a good option, and that's what would be appropriate from my point of view. Thank you.
Thank you, Ajay. So let me take note of that. Okay, rough notes in order to come back to the item. Okay, and I think what we discussed for GTLDs applies the same way as CCTLDs, varying the differences in process, but we were basically saying the same. So existing TLD, this is not only for variant calculations for existing TLDs, but also GPs need to be mindful of whether the LGR proposal would invalidate not invalidate a TLD, but will determine that an existing label is invalid now per the rules on LGR, but again, they will have to be grandfathered anyway. Same thing with the self-identified variants, although as I remember we talked about on the CCTLD and the fast track, countries or CCTLD managers apply for a CCTLD and they self-identify a variant. Is that variant SARMA PT9, do you know, is that variant label on a suspension mode until all these IDNTLD management framework is put in place? Or is that something that is subject to be revised based on the rules on LGR?
So this is Armand. So I think that's exactly something we need to determine by looking at the language in the fast track process. I've actually quoted that language in the minutes from last time, from both the applicant guidebook and from the CCTLD process. From applicant guidebook, it's very clear that there is no, it's for information only, and eventually it's really going to be what is perhaps rules on LGR's interpretation can actually be applied. From the language from the fast track process, it's not that clear. And so I think we probably as a group need to read that language carefully and see, there are two possible ways to move forward, of course. So it basically says, I read the relevant line here, or maybe I can actually copy it in the text chat here as well. Obviously, there's more text around. But this part basically says that if it will be, these are talking about self-identified variants. It says it will be allocated to the requester in order to be reserved to the entitled manager for potential future delegation in the DNS root zone. A list of non-desired variants could also be submitted. So I guess one thing which we need to discuss is that if there are variants identified, self-identified, does the root zone override those variants and free up any of the variants which are not generated by root zone, or those variants which are not generated by root zone but self-identified still remain reserved even if they're not calculated through the root zone SGR. So I think that's a bit of text which needs to be clarified either within the group, or maybe we may need to consult, for example, the CCNSO, but that's something which is still open for discussion. Thank you.
Thank you, Sarma, for that. So I'm reading the language. It looks like there was already a decision that the label will be allocated. That doesn't mean that it will be delegated, though, right, or activated, if you will.
Right.
The requested, yeah. So I think that's the nuance that I think we can, in within our purview, is to make the definitions clear. What does allocation activation means, right? And because something, a label that it's allocatable has a disposition of allocatable, that doesn't mean that it has to be delegated. That's a policy decision as far as they will come up with a ceiling number of how many variants can be activated and et cetera, et cetera.
Right. Sorry, this is Sarmad again. So I guess the question here is that suppose an IDNC CCTLD applicant identifies three variant labels, A, B, and C, and suppose root zone LGR only creates labels A and B, but does not really create a label C as a variant label. So the question is that is variant label C, which is not created by the root zone, but is self-identified, will that remain a variant label?
That's a good example. I mean, just my first reaction is that that's up to the, it's going to be up to the generation panel, right? If that decision comes through, if their proposal comes through in a way that that case it's real, that of three potential variants, self-identified variants, only two are really valid or allocatable, if you will, then somehow policy will need to deal with that use case and find a solution.
Yes, exactly. So there is some nuance in the CCTLD space which we need to discuss further, I think, looking at the language. That's what I'm saying at this time. I don't really know the answer, but the language, we really need to make sure that, we're clear and we make a recommendation accordingly. Thank you.
Thank you, Sarma. Anyone else would like to react to recent conversation?
Yeah, though I understood it and I kind of will agree, but just to be more clear, Sarma, can you please repeat your example again so that I know I'm understood clearly?
So, thank you. I'll repeat. So, what I was saying was that suppose an IDN applicant, because initially there were no root zone LGR, so IDN applicants, CCTLD applicants were identifying their own variants, and suppose they identified three variants, A, B, label A, label B, and label C, as their variants. And now we have a root zone LGR. When we apply the root zone LGR on the primary label, IDNCCTLD, we get two variant labels from the root zone LGR, label A and label B. Root zone LGR does not give label C, tell us that label C is a variant. But label C is a variant from the self-identified set. So we have now a case where we actually have a variant which has been identified by the IDNCCTLD, which is not supported by the root zone LGR. It's an extra variant. And it's not really clear from this language what do we do with that. Do we consider it a variant beyond root zone LGR, or do we not consider it a variant? And then if we don't consider it a variant, how do we deal with it in the application?
So I think I got the correct example. That's fine. Thank you. So we have the answer, probable answer to move in the direction. Somebody has a different view.
We have a comment by Mariana in the chat room. She says, I think that self-identified variants should be kept as self-identified variants. Thank you.
So there is no term like self-identified variant in a root zone LGR. We have to, so are we requesting the GP to add this as a variant, or we are not going to add this as a variant? So ultimately, I think maybe we need to add, if we need to go back to the GP and put them on GP again, while they are validating the existing TLDs, then we need to also validate the existing variants in that case, and make it similar to whatever is there.
Yeah, I have Sarmat and Mirjana, but I think Mirjana was first and then Sarmat.
Do you hear me?
Yes, Mirjana, we can hear you. Go
ahead. Okay. Because during this registration of CCTLDs, IDNCCTLDs, yes, I know some CCTLDs has defined self, has some self-defined variants. Those people knows exactly why they gave did those variants. And it might be some other reasons, not only LGR application, why they are proposing those strings to be variants. That's why I have a stand to keep this variant as self-identified variant somewhere in the database, and you cannot emulate anything what happened before. That's my only reason. And the other one is that those people probably knows very well why they identified those variants. Thank you.
Thank you, Mirjana. We go to Sarmat now.
Sure. So one, I think one thing which I should probably take as a homework is that go back to all the CCTLD applications which have identified variants. And at least for those labels for which root zone LGR is already defined, I can run it through the root zone LGR and check whether the variants identified are actually generated, and make sure that there are no self-identified variants which are beyond what is being generated by the root zone LGR. And in case there are, then I guess I come back with that data perhaps next time. So that's one thing for things which root zone LGR proposals which are already integrated. So I'm specifically talking about Arabic script. For those labels for which the root zone LGR is not currently integrated, and we have variant sets, I think that's the case where which we said we'll point to the generation panel and make sure they explain it and advise us on the course of action as well. With those two things, with some data, I guess next time we'll be in a clearer position on whether we want to say something in case there are already some rules on LGR integrated proposals, or we just leave it to the generation panels. However, there's a third possibility as well, which is that eventually if the interpretation is that the, you know, we're talking about the past is fine, but the fast track process still applies, which means if the interpretation is that self-identified variants are allowed, then basically in even in the future, the IDNCC TLDs can propose variants which are beyond the IDNCC TLD root zone LGR calculation. And in that case, I think we should probably think about whether we want to request or recommend something to CCNSO as far updating updating the fast track process is concerned, saying that, you know, what's happened has happened, but in the future, obviously, root zone LGR proposal should be considered because it is obviously coming from the community, and therefore, you know, the fast track process should not incorporate variant labels which are beyond what is being defined by root zone LGR. So there's probably a three part, I guess, suggestion to address something like this. Thank you.
Thank you, Sarmat. And I have Mijana back. Mijana, is that a new hand? Okay, that was an old hand. So I was just, all this conversation about self-identified variants and why the cases where one, the set identified by an applicant may be different from the traditional GR. So I'm just thinking out loud and put it out there for any reactions. And maybe Sarma, you are the best on point for this question or just comment or statement. So the self-identified variants, do we know or does ICANN know or somebody processing knows is what was the source of the self-identified variant? Was it a language-based table or was it a script-based table or does it make any difference at all, right? When you're, because now the root and LGR is all script-based and you end up with very different rules as far as valid labels, right, and variants as well if you are comparing a script-based table against a labels produced by a language-based table. And that might be the one of the aspects that policy should look at and which one should prevail. Again, just a statement, something that I was thinking out loud when based on all the conversation about self-identified variants. I'm not sure if it's relevant or not for this conversation.
I can come make a quick comment on that, Dennis.
Yeah, go ahead. I will appreciate it.
So I think currently what is in the fast track process was because this whole thing came in 2009, actually around 2008 when the fast track process was being developed. So this is much earlier than, you know, this whole root zone LGR thinking process, which evolved later on. So basically, from what I understand in the fast track process, the self-identified variants are actually based on, I think at that time the thinking was the IDN tables which the country, this IDN CCTLDs are proposing for implementation along with the application. So it's actually coming through their own IDN tables rather than a larger global, I guess, IDN table, which we call the root zone LGR. So in a way, I think you're hitting the target really head on that, you know, many of those IDN tables which were obviously coming through with the IDN CCTLD applications were language-based tables. They were not really script-based tables. And that thinking had not really evolved at that time that we really need to look at the script-based tables for top-level domains. So there has been, you know, that has been really the context of those self-identified labels Nevertheless, I think many of them will carry on to the root zone LGR as well. So I don't really see too much of a problem, but this is something which needs to be tested. Obviously now the context is a script level root zone LGR. So the context has slightly changed, and that may actually cause that disconnect. Importantly, I think we also then need to send this request back to CCNSO that going forward, you know, root zone LGR is the relevant reference point and not the individual IDNC, CTLD, IDN tables, which are obviously just language-based. Thank you.
Thank you, Sarma. Thank you for the education. Really appreciate it. All right. So let's move on. I think we have discussed in detail these questions and topics. Some already overlapping with previous earlier questions that we have dealt with. So I think we have good material here. Let's do one more bullet, and I think we'll welcome adjourn. So the next item is on the list is this question about the whether you apply the root zone LGR both to GTLDs and CTLDs processes equally. And I think there's subsequent question about policy constraining farther down the line. I think that's a yes. I don't think we have to deal with that because we already answered that. We already discussed it. We don't have to deal with this one, so I'll strike it through. But the first question, should both GTLDs and CTLD applications process equally? I think to some extent, yes, and then we'll have to make a statement as far as GTLDs and CTLD process to a start. One of the topic that we just discussed or talk about is the self-identified variants, right? On the GTLD world, self-identified variants are for information purposes, whereas in the CTLD application process may have other implications because it's already ingrained in the process as, and I think the word is allocated, right? So there's an expectation from the applicant that at some point the allocated variant label will be delegated. I mean, that's one possible way, or stayed in that allocatable phase until something happens. At least that's where this is going, and somehow we will answer these questions by making our recommendations in the above statements. Any reactions, or do you see a different way to answer this question that we identify early on? Okay, hearing none, I think that's what we're going to write about. And just as a bonus, I think we can add one more question because it's already something that we discussed. What consideration, if any, should be recommended for reserve labels at the top level? We talk about reserve labels. Make generic funds know that these reserve labels exist, and they should run the root zone LGR in order to run the validation, just to make them aware whether their proposal will make any of these reserve labels invalid. And if that's the case, then they need to issue some recommendations to the ICANN organization, I guess, and also to calculate their variants for those reserve labels so that they can be incorporated in the respective processes, GTLD or CCTLD-wise. And with that, I think I'm going to mark a stop here.
This is Sarmad. I'd like to make a comment.
Yes, Sarma, please go ahead.
So this is not, I guess, related to reserve labels, but something we've been talking about before, and I guess more related to, I guess, process. Obviously, the discussion gets triggered or becomes relevant to reserve labels as well. So we have, I guess, all these TLDs which are existing, and we said we are going to apply root zone LGR to the existing TLDs to make sure that we identify their variants and in a way block them from future applications. I guess the question is that how is that done? The reason I'm saying that is because even though for GTLDs we can wait till the next new GTLD round, that's fine. But for CCTLDs, the application process, of course, is a is on rolling basis, which means anybody can really apply for a CC IDN CCTLD at any time, you know, today, tomorrow, whenever. So the question is, should we identify these reserve labels or variants of existing TLDs, which are in a way reserved or blocked, and make them available today or when, so that CCTLD applicants, IDN CCTLD applicants can also, for example, look at them and see what is available, what is not. So I guess a question is, for existing TLDs, you know, when and how do we make, you know, how do we and when do we apply root zone LGR on existing CCTLDs and make that data available? So that's, I'm not sure, is that a policy question or is that a technology question, technical question, which we have to address now through these recommendations? Are we going to say something about the timing of it at all? Thank you.
Yep. No, thank you. That's a good question. So I think the way, just putting my engineering hat, and not that I'm in software engineering hat, but I talk to them that I know some of language, but I think you're kind of talking about a EPP check, right? If I'm an applicant or I'm a registrant, right, if you will, I want to know whether a label is available or not. I do an EPP check to the registry database, and in this case would be IANA, I guess, if this label available, right? And the server,
yes,
will have to look at whether the exact match label is available or any of the variants that, if there are any variants, is blocking the apply for label. So, yes, I think that's something that needs to be built, especially with the case of CCTLD, that they apply on a rolling basis and not through like window framework as GTLDs does today. I think I think it's part of our remit, and we can certainly make a statement on that very specific use case. Does anyone have any comments in favor and support, or maybe providing a different insight? Hearing none, I think that's a support, I guess. We'll add it to as a statement, and then we will see how we can develop it further as we progress in the document. All right, with that said, I now want to stop now. So doing calendar check next week. It's on December 10th. So we'll meet again, same channel, same time. I was not able to make any changes to the document, so I will have to work in, during this week so that we can review progress on the recommendation and statement and trying to clean up some of the red lines right here. So you'll see that throughout the week, and I'll let you know so that you can review in advance of our next Monday meeting. All right, with that said, thank you very much for joining. I hope you have a great day and great rest of the week. All right, we'll talk to you again on Monday.
Thank you very much, everyone. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.